Good morning.
Good morning.
If you would turn your hymnbooks to page 489. 489. Sing verses 1 and 4. 1 and 4.
I know that my Redeemer is in ever present for me. I know eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow free.
Before we go to God in prayer this morning, please turn your hymnbook to page 272. 272. Between the first and last, 1 and 2.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Yes, I need him.
Would you bow with me? Dear Father, as we gather together this morning, we pray that you'll be with us and continue to bless us, that you'll help us with the frailties of our body, that you'll be with those who work to heal, with those who work to bring peace. Help us, dear Father, to be a united people, to be a people who pursue you and who pursue justice. Pray, dear Father, that as we go through the worship this day, that our minds and our hearts will be together and focused upon you and the great things you have done for us, especially giving us your word to guide our steps. We pray for Skippy, dear Father, and Carolyn as they work with us in this congregation. Be with the leaders of the congregation and the members, that we all may model the behavior that will bring others to you. Dear Father, be with this nation as we battle the coronavirus, that we'll not be battling one another, that we will love one another. Help the rage that seems to infect us from time to time to dissipate, to vaporize, to disappear. Help us to turn our fears over to you and to realize, dear Father, that we can pass through this life and have a home with you. Help us to overcome the fears and the hate with the knowledge and the certainty that we have a home with you. Dear Father, we pray for this community and for the communities around the nation, especially the household of faith, dear Father. We ask that you be with the sick of our number, the injured of our number, that you will comfort them, that you would be with those who care for them, be with their families. Help us, dear Father, to portray Christ every day, that we may bring others to you. For we ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn to the book to page 310. 310. Sing verses 1 and 4. 1 and 4.
Jesus, King, thank you.
colors. We have two emblems. We have the red represents the body of Christ Jesus that was crucified and called Calvary on our behalf. We have the cup as a fruit of the vine that represents his shed blood that was shed for many for the remission of sin. At this time, we have the honor and the privilege to partake of the Lord's Supper. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. O kind Father in heaven, we humble ourselves in the name of Jesus, giving you all praise, all honor and glory for this bread that represents the body of Christ that was given for us. We give you all praise, honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Father, we thank you for the blood that was sacrificed on our behalf. We thank you for the love that was shown to us, the precious lifeblood that flows through us now as a redeemed people, as your children. Father, we thank you that we're able to be able to communicate with you, to be able to commune with you, to be able to worship you and to love you. We thank you for being the one that was able to be the conqueror over death, that we might be able to live with you. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn books, page 847. That will be our song of encouragement. After working, that please turn to page 703. 703. Some words in that.
Troublesome times are here, killing me hearts with fear. Freedom we hold dear. Now is that say, now is that say. Humbling your hearts with God, save from the shame of his saving crowd. Seek the way filled with God, Christians away. Jesus is coming. Thank you.
This morning's sermon title is Changing Lives with an Unchanging Gospel. That is, Changing Lives with an Unchanging Gospel. The scripture reading is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles. Walk in the fulfillment of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who be past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work of all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, Brother Norman.
Good morning. Truly, God has once again been good to us. He's spared our lives to be able to come to assemble ourselves together on this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Again, we just want to thank this congregation for praying for us as we was away on last week to take the grandbaby, and we met with our other son in Nebraska with our other son. So we just had a great time, and Lord blessed us to be able to make it back here safely. Continue to pray for the Walker family. This is the family that be's on our conference call on Wednesday nights from Kaysen, Texas. We asked on Wednesday night to pray for him, that his mother, who had a stroke, but since then his mother passed away. So just pray for that family. If you want to be involved in the conference call on Wednesday night, the number is in the bulletin as well, so you can get the number for Wednesday night conference call. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. O wise, eternal Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this day, and Lord, for your blessings, this opportunity you've given us once again. Lord, as we're about to go into your word, that we look at your word. We know that it has the power and is able to save our souls. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, the things that we say, that we can take these things, apply them to our everyday lives. Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Changing lives with an unchanging gospel. If you claim to be in Christ, but are living just like you did before you believed in him, then you need to examine whether you truly believe in him. Because becoming a Christian requires turning your sins to God. Talking about repentance. And repentance is not a one-time event. It defines the lifestyle of a believer, because God changes us radically at the moment of salvation by imparting new life to us. But this is followed by a lifetime of changing into the image of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. So when we look in Ephesians this morning, in Ephesians chapter 4, what we find here is when you look at verse 17 through verse number 19, what Paul does is that Paul paints a grim portrait of how unbelievers live. While not all unbelievers are as bad as they possibly could be, they all live, as the Bible says, in the futility of their minds. In other words, their minds being darkened unto their understanding, excluding from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. That bleak picture describes each of us before we met Jesus Christ. But then when you look at verse number 20, he says, but now. Paul draws a sharp contrast. But ye did not learn Christ this way. What he does is that he gives us a brief sketch of the changed life that every believer should be experiencing. So he is saying that the changed life stems from the transformation that God works in us through the gospel. As we put off the old life, as are renewed in our minds, and that we put on the new life in Jesus Christ. So what Paul shows in these few verses is in verse 20 and 21, Paul shows the change that God works in us through the gospel. And then he shows us how the process of change worked in our ongoing experiences in verse 22 through verse 24. So let's look at these verses this morning. First of all, in verse number 20 and 21, what you find is that the changed life begins by coming to know Christ personally. See, Paul describes the changed life in four ways. Number one, he says the changed life begins when you learn Christ in verse number 20. What does he mean to learn Christ? He is saying that to become a Christian is a matter of coming to know Christ personally. That he is the Christ, the Son of God. He is the eternal God in the human flesh. But you must also know something about the significance of what he did when he died on the cross as a substitute of sinners. He satisfied God's wrath towards our sins so that we are free from condemnation when we trust in Christ to save us. But it's possible to know all of these facts. It's possible to know more and yet not know Jesus Christ personally. In John 17 and verse 3, John 17 and verse 3, Jesus prayed, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." But then secondly, The changed life begins when you hear Christ in verse 21. So when he says, so be, it does not express any doubt, but rather affirmation. What Paul is saying is that I know that you have heard him. Paul means that when he and others have preached the gospel, these people had heard it as God speaking to them. God opened their deaf ears so that they didn't just listen to the words, but they heard Jesus Christ calling them to himself. They heard so as to obey his call to faith and repentance. In John 8 in verse 43, Jesus asked the Jews that was challenging him. He said, why do you not understand what I'm saying? Is it because you cannot hear my words? But watch what he does. He goes on to identify the root problem. In verse 44 of John chapter 8, he said that they were of the father, the devil. Satan had deafened their ears so that they could not hear Christ's words of eternal life in order to believe and to be saved. And I believe today that Satan has deafened some of our ears, that while we will not hear Christ's words of eternal life in order to believe and be saved. But then the third thing that Paul does, the third way is that the changed life begins when you are taught in Christ. In verse 21, to be taught in him means to be taught from the standpoint of this new relationship with Christ, and entails this new position in Christ. Before you stood outside, not understanding the things of God. But now, because of God's mercy, because of God's kindness toward you in Christ, you are in him for time and eternity. But then the fourth way, the changed life begins when you know the truth that is in Jesus Christ. Verse 21. So when you look at this phrase, just as truth is in Jesus, qualifies the preceding comments about learning Christ, hearing Christ, and being taught of Christ. And the reason that Christ is the focus of instruction is that he is the embodiment of truth. In John 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth of salvation is only in Jesus Christ. In him, we learn the truth about who we are, the truth about sin and righteousness, the truth about God's purpose for why we are on this earth, the truth about how to love God, the truth about how to love one another. We learn the truth about the coming judgment, about heaven and about hell, all of the truth that we need for life and godliness centers in the person Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand that. So what is Paul's point? Paul's point in verse 20 and 21 is that the changed life stems from the transformation that God works in us through the gospel. When we meet Jesus Christ personally, through faith, we are changed people. But how does the process continue? That's where Paul goes on in verse 22 through verse 24 to explain these changes with three infinitives. That is putting off, renewed, and putting on. Putting off, renewed, and putting on. Watch this. The changed life requires putting off the old man. Verse 22. Paul's phrase is literally the old man. He identifies this as being in reference to your former manner of life, how you used to live. So the old man refers to all that we were before we were saved, when we were ruled by the evil desires and practices. Look at verse 19. Back up to verse 19. Of Ephesians chapter 4, who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. There was a time before you became a Christian, there was a time that you were walking according to the course of this world. Ephesians, if you go back and look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 3, there was a time we were just living like the world, but when you became a child of God, you should have put that old life behind, because now you have a new life. Our old life involves a process of being corrupted by the lust of deceit. Sin deceived us into thinking that it would give us freedom, that it would give us fulfillment, but it's a lie. And so sin only defies, enslaves, and ultimately destroys the person who is deceived by it. When Christ saved us, he liberated us from bondage to sin, of sin. We died to sin by virtue of his death on the cross. We were raised to a new life in Jesus Christ. And now we must daily put off the dirty clothes of sin. Put on the new clothes of righteousness, of holiness, because he freed us. But there's still a struggle. There's still a strong tug toward the old life. But I tell you, we do not have to yield to it. The changed life involves putting off the old man. But then the changed life requires being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 23. When you look at that word, being renewed, it is a present passive infinitive, which means that it is an ongoing process that God performs in us as we cooperate with him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13. The renewing take place in the spirit of your mind. God does the renewing as we obey him by saturating our minds with his transforming words of truth. So God's spirit, his spirit performs a work of renewal in us. But we are responsible to use the means of renewal, namely by his word, which renews our hearts and thoughts as we submit to him. So what does Paul here refers to when he talks about the spirit of your mind? Paul means that our entire way of thinking and what controls our thinking needs renewal. We need to think in line with God's thoughts as he reveals in his word. But then finally, the changed life requires putting on the new man. Verse 24. We must live by applying the truth of the new man in every situation that we face. When you face the temptation to lie, the old man's way of acting, but the new man's way speaking the truth. Where the old man live for self, the new man considers others ahead of self. Whereas the old man was full of racial prejudice and pride, the new man erases those distinctions and view others in the body equally as brothers and sisters in Christ. This corporate aspect of the new man implies that if you are not involved with a local church where you are being built together with other believers, then you don't understand a major part of the new way in which you are supposed to live your life. And so as I close, while it's a long, lifelong process, a renewal, it's a day by day thing, because every day that you get up out of your bed, there's a struggle to do what's right or to do what's wrong. There's a struggle between the spirit and the flesh. There is a struggle to do what God would have you to do or to listen to Satan. It's a struggle. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus came to give us life, to give us life more abundantly. And I want you to understand that the changed life deals with the unchanging gospel. As we look in the gospel each and every day, as we look in the word of God, there ought to be a change. People ought to see a difference in you and I this morning. You should be able to see the distinction between the old person that you were and the new person that you are now in Christ. Not only do you need to be able to see the distinction, but other folk need to see the distinction that you are not what you used to be. God has made a difference in your life. And so the question comes, Has he made a difference in your life? Can others see a difference in your life? See, you don't have to go around and tell folk, I'm a Christian. They'll see it in the way that you live. They'll see it on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You can live on holy on Sunday and live like a devil on Monday. They'll see it. You need to show them that I'm the same person on Sunday and I'm the same person throughout the week, because I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, have God changed your life? Have God made a difference in your life? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life. And now it's up to you. He can make a difference in your life. God has a plan that we all got to follow if we want to be saved. You've heard the word of God, believe it to be true. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. Go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Baptism is a burial, Romans 6:3-4. When you come out of that water, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Lord adds you to his church. Acts 2:47. The church that he set up on this rock I build, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. The church that he purchased with his own precious blood. The church that he's the head of, he's the savior of. He loved it. He died for it, and he's coming back for it. And it's not going to have any spot or wrinkle in it, such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. Then you got to live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death, and one day you can go on home and live with him forever and ever. If you're hearing a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, now is the time to get it right. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Come right now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Through the day, bread for love, oh, 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 oh Heavenly Father, we thank you for waking us up and bringing us safely together to worship you. We pray that everyone in attendance was able to take something from the lesson and use it to make them stronger servants unto you. At this time, we ask that you watch over the people who are sick and the people who are traveling and bring them back to us safely and bring us all back together at our next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.